A new report out from an international team of researchers finds some potentially troubling news for the future of the planet. In recent years, the team devised a framework to monitor Earth's overall health based on what they call planetary boundaries. These are conditions in which human civilization can continue to thrive.
The team identified 9 of those boundaries. They say crossing them could generate abrupt or irreversible environmental changes. Here's where the bad news comes in. Civilization has already crossed 4 of them, and human activity is the culprit. That's creating plenty of questions for policymakers, and the report was discussed recently at the World Economic Forum in Davos, Switzerland. So where do we go from here?
Joining us now is one of the researchers behind that report, Steve Carpenter. He's the director of the University of Wisconsin-Madison Center for Limnology and the only U.S.-based researcher in that study. Steve, thanks so much for joining us.
It's a pleasure to be here, Veronica.
So how did the team come up with this idea, this concept of planetary boundaries, as you call them?
Well, we knew that something called the Great Acceleration is going on, and that's a rapid increase in human use of the planet's resources, faster than exponential increase in some cases. And that got us to thinking about, well, how far can you go? And the planetary boundaries were an attempt to answer that question.
So in other words, you're trying to draw the lines, show where the limits are.
We're not drawing the lines for the absolute limits. We're drawing the lines for the danger zones. So I think of the planetary boundaries as like the curb between the sidewalk and the street. You really don't want to spend a lot of time wandering around in the street. It would be better to stay on the other side of the curb. The curb is the planetary boundary. You cross it and something bad could happen.
And as far as what they are, what are the 9 planetary boundaries?
Well, they include things like phosphorus and nitrogen, which are used in fertilizers and some other industrial products. We are over the planetary boundaries for use of both nitrogen and phosphorus. Another example is species extinctions, losing the fabric of life that supports us all. And we are experiencing very rapid extinction rates and very rapid losses of species, the most rapid rates seen since we became a species ourselves. So that's very concerning. Some examples of other boundaries that are kind of getting close to the edge but haven't tipped over yet are climate change and land use change. We are very close to being in danger from those. Then, on the other hand, there are some boundaries that seem okay. One is fresh water use. We are not yet in great danger from fresh water use. Of course, there are very dry parts of the world where the situation is riskier than it is here in Wisconsin.
When you say fresh water use, do you mean over-consuming it?
Yes, that's correct. About 70 to 75% of our fresh water use is for irrigation in agriculture, and the remainder is for industrial uses or municipal use, like drinking water or watering our lawns, that sort of thing. And for the planet as a whole, we're okay with fresh water right now. Of course, there are extremely dry areas. Wisconsin is not one of those. And then there are other boundaries where we don't really know. We haven't done enough analysis yet. For example, ocean acidification, exotic toxic chemicals are two boundaries that we think need some attention, but we don't know whether we're over them yet.
Now, of those 9, and you mentioned some that we have either crossed or are in the danger zone, which one is the one that's really calling out to you, that's got the flashing red warning light on it right now?
Well, phosphorus is the one that I would point to, and phosphorus is a huge issue in Wisconsin. The phosphorus cycle is the mineral cycle of Earth that has been altered the most by human activity, so it's the most transformed. And excessive use of phosphorus leads to severe water pollution problems. It leads to blooms of toxic cyanobacteria, which produce chemicals that are very harmful to people, livestock, and pets. And it makes using that water very, very expensive. It costs a lot of money to clean it up. And in Wisconsin, we have massive pollution problems due to phosphorus, particularly in some of the intensive agricultural regions of the state. So phosphorus is a problem that hits close to home.
How easy is it to remedy that particular one? You know, here in Wisconsin, you mentioned it is a problem. We're also a big ag state. So how do farms address this issue?
Well, one thing we can do is cut back on our fertilizer use, particularly for soils that are rich in phosphorus already, which includes quite a few of Wisconsin agricultural soils. The second thing we can do is develop better mechanisms for treating manure. Manure is a major vehicle for carrying phosphorus into our waterways. And frankly, that's an area where I think we need new technology. We need ways of treating the manure to remove the phosphorus and prevent the problem.
So when you talk about making changes like these, there needs to be consciousness of the problem and there needs to be accord around finding a solution. Are we there yet when it comes to phosphorus?
Well, clearly not, or the problem would be solved. And there is discussion almost every year about phosphorus in Wisconsin. And some areas of the state are doing better than others. For example, in the Ahara watershed around Madison, there are some very innovative phosphorus management programs that are getting started. They're very small, but if they work, they could be scaled up. But I think that as far as phosphorus goes in Wisconsin, we are talking about it, but we haven't really taken the tough action that's necessary to solve the problem.
Now, once a boundary is crossed, something like phosphorus, for example, you listed 9 of them, what happens?
Well, in the case of phosphorus, the danger is that we would go into runaway algae blooms in some lakes and rivers, and there are places around the world where that's occurred. If we go quite a bit further with phosphorus than we have so far, we could turn the oceans anaerobic, which has happened in the past, and so all the fish die. And
what does anaerobic mean again?
No oxygen. So there's no oxygen in the oceans, and that's not likely to happen anytime soon.
So that's very bad.
That's really bad. We definitely don't want that to happen. But we will lose all the fresh water before we lose the oceans. So that's going to be pretty bad, too.
Any success stories where we have approached one of these boundaries and humankind has been able to dial it back?
The best known one is the ozone hole, where the ozone hole was discovered in the 1970s. By the mid-1980s, industry and governments had agreed on a technological fix, on substituting different chemicals for the ozone harming chemicals. So we replaced the chlorofluorocarbons that destroyed ozone with other chemicals that do not. And the world is on track to repair the ozone hole within a few decades. Of course, it is very slow. But the important thing is that there was an international agreement about this problem, that we need to solve it, and effective action was taken.
And as we wrap up, what has the reaction been to this? Has it been positive, what you hoped for?
Well, there's been tremendous interest, and we're very happy to have that interest. I'm also very happy that the media have not treated this like an end-of-the-world gloom-and-doom story. They've treated it as a problem that we need to get together and solve. So I think that the reception that I have heard is very constructive.
Steve, thank you so much for joining us.
My pleasure. Thanks a lot for having me.
That was Steve Carpenter, director of the University of Wisconsin-Madison Center for Limnology. He's part of an international research team that's developed the concept of planetary boundaries and which ones humans have already crossed.